All right. It is so good to be with you. I'm just honored. I'm honored of the Lord to be here, have an opportunity to be here, and to be with my friend and my brother, Scott, and to meet so many of you. And boy, you guys are really looking at me intently. What are you expecting? I mean, if you could see how you're looking at me, you would not stand here, I'm telling you. This is, whoa, I'm like, wow. It's great to be here. We are just honored to be here. Thrilled that God would count us to be called to this ministry and to have an opportunity to spend time with you. I'm so grateful. To your pastors and to the leadership at large, thank you. We are so honored. Okay, now, I have a couple. Well, what I really have, I have my wife. My wife, Toni. We have been married. April will be 35 years. And she just is, boy, she has blessed me in so many ways. We have four children. And they're great. Well, two of them are doing a little better than the other two. My two are doing better than her two. You know what I'm saying? But God has blessed us with four adult children. We have two grandchildren, two grandsons, a four-year-old and a two-year-old. And we're just loving them. And we serve at a church that has been was planted by my parents, was founded by my parents in 1987. We've been pastoring there since 1995. New Bethel Community Church, located there in the city of Buffalo in the University District. If you're familiar with UB, it's right near the south campus of UB, University of New York at Buffalo. And great congregation there, love the Lord. We're a mixed congregation, ethnically mixed, culturally, and rightly so, because that's what heaven will look like, amen? It'd be tough for us, you know, if we lived and served in one aspect or sort of exclusivity here. You know, heaven will be a culture shock for you. Say amen to that.
Amen.
As if you make it. But anyway, yeah. So we need to mix it up. Amen. That's what heaven's going to look like. I mean, read what John says he saw in the book of Revelation. Every creed, every tribe, every nation, every tongue. That's what John said. When God opened the window and John was able to look into the heavens, that's what he saw. Amen. And so our Jesus is not a black Jesus or a white Jesus or Hispanic Jesus or an Asian Jesus. He's all of that. Okay, anyway, he is. He is that. And so we pray, we want to be a people like that, amen?
Amen.
We want to be a people like that. And so we serve there at the church, great, great church. Even when I believe with all my heart, even when I'm no longer pastoring there, I'm still going to be a member there. I'm still going to be. It's a great church. It really is. I do not plan to pastor there until I die. Say amen. I tell our members all the time, you are not going to kill me. Because that's what members do. They kill the pastor. And okay, not here in Potsdam. Not here. But where I come from, you know. And they say, oh, he was great and he gave his life for the Lord. And then they get the next one in and they kill him too. So yeah, I told them they're not going to kill me. And I'm not going to pastor there forever. Amen. I believe in a succession plan. You ought to have a succession plan. You just should be thinking that way. I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm cute, amen? And I'm, all right, I tried to get you. All right, whatever. Yeah, but, you know, we're involved all over the world. We have been called to, and we do ministry in India, Bangladesh, Cuba, East Africa, West Africa, and South Africa. And so we are away a lot in the last 5 weeks. We've only been at our church 1 week out of the last five. Elders are pretty upset with me, so we got to go home. But it's just part of what we get to do for God. We get to serve him. We have, and God provides us with an opportunity to spend time with our brothers and sisters in Christ from all over the world. And we are honored to do so. Very, very honored to be with you. Okay, two things. Since it's Sunday morning, I probably should have like an extra little longer than last night, right? Even though I probably took last night my time to the limit. Did I get close?
No.
Oh, praise the Lord. Man, I love you, and I'm buying you lunch, brother. That's and so, but I'm sensing some things in my spirit from the Lord. And so, and I don't know, I've gone to churches where they have two services, and you know, you have a Saturday evening service and then a Sunday morning service, and you know, the expectation is what you share on Saturday evening, you share on Sunday morning, because they're kind of two, they're one congregation, but they come to service at two different times. And so I'm not going to do that this morning. I ask grace. Say amen. Say you have grace. Come on, and but I want to share something else that the Lord has laid on my heart. Two things, and I want to get to the word quickly here, because while, at least to me, they don't appear to be connected, as God is giving it to me, as I'm sensing it, I'll let God through His Word and by His Spirit speak to you right where you are. All too often, I think, as the minister, I'm not on the clock yet. I'm just still saying hello. As the minister, you know, we try to encompass everything and everyone, and that's the work of the Spirit, not the minister. And you know, I'm old school. Come from the old school. All old school. Spiritual fathers and teachers and mentors and that kind of thing, and that doesn't let you off the hook as it relates to preparedness and all of those things. We need to do that. We're going to do that, but I cannot do what only can be done by the Spirit. Amen. Amen. And so there, I don't even tread. That ground is too holy for me. There are places in Scripture where the man of God was told, "Take your shoes off." Because the ground you stand upon is holy ground. That ground is too holy. We don't even get to stand there. We make ourselves available to the Spirit of God. And then God, by His Spirit, does the work. Whatever the work might happen to be. Are you okay? Okay, now my disclaimer. I'll share this from last night. You know, my voice may go up and I'll get excited. And I may even yell, but I am not yelling at you. I am yelling for Jesus. Okay? Okay, and just something that happens when I start talking about the Word, I just get to cranking. I can't help it. I make no apology for it. And that's that, okay? All right, so here's where I want you to look right quick now. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 1. Deuteronomy 7 and 1. Okay, now I am officially on the clock. I have 10:56 here. Yeah, don't worry about it. Man, I'm going to have to stay and buy him dinner, too. Deuteronomy 7 and 1. Okay, is it okay if I call you New Hope? That's your name, isn't it? Okay. There, I get a sense from God that you all are on, for lack of a better way, you're on a precipice. You're right on the edge of something. You're as a faith family, as a covenant community, as a church, you're right on the precipice. You're right on the edge of something. That God has brought you to the edge of something. First and foremost, He's brought you to the edge of you. And who you are, who you think you are, who you believe you yourselves to be. God is, you ever gone through something and on the backside of it, you come out and you say, boy, I wasn't as prepared as I thought I was. Or, you know, I wasn't as holy as I thought I was. I wasn't as spiritual as, okay, that didn't never happen to you. It only happened to me. Mm-hmm. God has brought you there. And as a result of that, You qualify now to go to the next dimension in him. Not a level. It's a, get levels out of your mind. That God wants to take you as a faith family into the next dimension of who he is and what he has for you. Are you okay? Okay, now whether or not this resonates with you, it's okay. I'm going to preach me happy, and then I'm going to drive to Buffalo. Okay? Look at somebody. Look at someone. Make eye contact with them and tell them, I'm on the spiritual edge. See, everybody didn't even do it. Everybody didn't even do it. And we wonder why we can't fully step into the things of God. Sometimes it's just an issue of obedience. Yeah, you missed that. It's just that simple. Are you willing to just simply obey the man of God? Just, it wasn't a hard thing. The little maiden, she told, what is it, Naaman? She said, if the man of God had have asked you to do something huge and magnanimous, you'd have jumped on your horse and went and done the grand thing. All he asked you to do was dip 7 times in the Jordan. And you're refusing to do it. Obedience really is a biblical principle. And by it, that's another way we step into what God has for us. Yeah. You okay? Okay. You're on the precipice. You are. But that being on the edge is a definitive moment. It's a definitive moment. It is a moment that determines really what you do. Everything hangs in the balance. Everything hangs in the balance. And so here's what the Lord would say. Are you in Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 1. Listen to the word of the Lord now. This is an English Standard Version. Whatever you have, please follow along. When the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are entering to take possession of it and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, all right, let me turn the page, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, 7 nations more numerous and mighty and mightier than yourselves. And when the Lord your God gives them over to you and you defeat them, you must devout them. You must devout them to complete destruction. You must don't hesitate. Don't mess around. Destroy them completely. Here's where I want to be. Really, the first name on the list is what? What's the first name on the list? The Hittites. Okay, let's do a little grammatical work here. The Hittites. In the language of the Canaanite, in the Hebrew, the word is heth. And by definition, heth means terror. And so God says, when I bring you into the land, the first thing that we're going to have to deal with is fear. Everybody say the first thing. When I bring you into the land, listen, the land flows with milk and honey. The promise of God was that you will reap from fields that you did not plant. You will live in houses that you did not build. I'm going to do something so spectacular in your life that everybody around you will do like you do when you're at Disney. Ooh. Ah, that's the common theme at Disney, right? God said, that's what I'm going to do in your life. But in order for you to step into it, the first thing that we've got to deal with is fear. Heth, terror. The Bible, many cases, God would show up, and the first thing that he would say is fear not. Can you recall any time? Remember the shepherds in the field? Fear not. And he said to Mary, fear not. I mean, there's just so many times in scripture, fear not, fear not. There are things that God calls us to do, and you have to do them unafraid. Now, there are other things God calls you to do, and you can be afraid. You just got to do them afraid. It's true. You just have to do them afraid. But there are specific times, specific seasons, when you find yourself on a precipice, you can't be afraid. There is no next step. There seems to be only a drop off. And God says, while I've brought you to the edge, now the first and the next thing we have to deal with is fear. Would you help me? Would you encourage somebody next to you and just tell them, say, fear not. Doctor's report, fear not. What the state of the present or current state of your relationship looks like, fear not. Financial distress, fear not. How about some of us have some children and they're just standing on their head, spinning like a top. Fear not. Come on. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Who's in control? You? Me? No. God is in control. God is in control. The Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy and told him, God has not given us a spirit of what? But of power and of love and a sound mind or self-discipline. I love the translation, or self-discipline. What does that mean? That in the midst of uncertainty and everything going haywire in my life, I will stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Yeah, I don't care what's going on. God is in control. I don't care what's happening in your life. God is in charge. And he's called you to just be still and give witness to his power. Fear not. Got to deal with the terror. You cannot be afraid to build. I'm speaking to you, New Hope. You cannot be afraid to expand. And said, well, you know, people, and has anybody discovered other than me that people are messy? It's just pastoring. I'm like, oh, Lord, really? Is this what you want me to do? Lord, put me on a plane. Let me go somewhere, anywhere, Africa, Cuba. I love those places. I love being there. And I said, God, you only can be there for 2 weeks. Then you got to come home and you got to be. And you know, the pastoring is like parenting. You have to be present to do it. Boy, yeah. Are you getting this? You have to be present to do it. People are messy. Last week we had some guests in. They were going to Africa for the first time, and so they came to the church so that we could, sow into the trip, lay hands on them, send them, release them. As we've been invested in the continent for over 10 years, and so we have one of our, you know, every church has like a real trouble member, or two, or three. I mean, not New Hope, none. Not you all, just in Buffalo. It's not here in Potsdam. And so during, we do a time of sharing. We're really one of the few churches that still do that, where, you know, you have an opportunity to just stand and share and give witness to the goodness, the mercy of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord in your life and that kind of thing. And you know, we try to say, okay, just a couple, 2-3 minutes. It's not sermonettes, no 3 points, a poem and a prayer. That's not what that time is for. And just say, hey, God is blessed and so on. And so the most troubled member in Sister Tony's church stood up. And she just went on. I'm like, well, I don't know where she was. Physically she was there, but the rest of her was someplace else. And she just went on and on and on. And usually some of the elders will go, or some of the women will go and just, you know, kind of lay hands on her and pray for her and help her get through. And she was not taking no for an answer. And I'm like, Lord, really? And the Lord said, yeah, really. Because people are messy. We do stuff, don't we? We mess up, don't we? I'm talking about, you know, there's the best of us and then the rest of us. No, I'm talking about all of us. We mess up. But God says in this season, you cannot be afraid of that. You cannot be afraid of that. It's the season to step out. And you're saying, okay, I'm on the precipice, and I'm looking, and there's this void, there's this expanse, and you're telling me to step. Okay, stand, one thing. Step is another thing. Is anybody understanding the words that are coming out of my mouth? Are you getting this? Standing on the press, standing on the edge is one thing. You know, I worked for 30 years in construction, civil engineer. And one of the things I got to do but hated to do was walk steel. I hated it. I'm very much afraid of heights, very much afraid, which is probably why I have never fallen. Because that fear generated a respect. Y'all ain't gonna say amen. Yeah, come on now. That's probably why I didn't fall. Came close several times, and it wasn't because God just full of grace and mercy. Standing on the beam is one thing. Taking a step is another thing. And then when you have to step over an expanse onto something else, because during the step, you get to see down in the hole. That's what you call it. They call it the hole. Yeah, I ain't gonna say. And God is saying, don't be afraid to take the step. Don't be afraid to take the step. I'm with you. Oh, I'm running out of time. Isaiah 54. Okay, you can take your time and find it, because as you take your time, it adds to my preaching time, because I'm waiting for you. Isaiah 54:14. Let me read it. 54:14-15. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Look at somebody and tell them, say, you just can't touch me. You just can't touch me. Even if you gather against me, God said, you'll fall because of me. Two verses later, we quote it all the time, Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. We quote it all the time. I love the verse between 15 and 17. Verse 16, God said, don't worry about the one who's manufacturing a weapon against you, because the blacksmith who's making the weapon, well, I made him too. And everything he knows how to do, I gave it to him. And trust me, there is nothing that he can produce that can touch what you have in you. For the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Boy, you're preaching good. Here, I'm loving this. This is great. Is anybody getting this? And so we don't have to be afraid. All we have to do is make sure it's God, and then do the simple thing, obey. I have a dear friend, an apostolic brother. He lives in Carolina, and he gave me the sweetest definition of being a prophetic people that I've ever heard in my life. Hear God and obey him. See, we make prophecy that you stand up in front of somebody and say, yea, I say unto thee, thus saith the Lord. And Jesus don't even speak King James anyway. And it, say amen. It's true. He doesn't even speak King James. But we make being prophetic that. It's not. What is God saying, and what is your willingness to agree with God? What is your willingness to walk in obedience to the word of God? That makes you a prophetic people. That makes you a prophet. Staying close to God, developing intimate relationship with God and with one another. Because tell me, I'm telling you, if you're called to be here in community, God is not going to say something to one of you and leave the rest of you in the dark. That his word will be confirmed. Boy, this is just good Bible here. It will be confirmed. And then the test of being a prophetic people comes to bear in your life. Are we willing to obey God? Will we shake off fear? I have to go. Isaiah 49:26. God says this, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. If you mess with me, you better get ready. Because God's coming to visit you. God said, I will contend with them who contend with you. Kind of puts things in a different perspective now, doesn't it? Now I'm beginning to recognize and see I'm not standing on my own. I'm not standing alone. I'm not representing me. That's a total misrepresentation. I'm representing him. And as his representative, my God, he has my back. He's got my front. He's got my side. David said in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He went on to talk about his enemies. He said, when my enemies came upon me, they eat of my flesh. David said, I just watched them. They stumbled and fell. There are battles that you're called to that you won't even have to fight in. Okay, as I close. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Really? Ain't it? I'm telling you. You never run out of word. You always run out of time, isn't it? Thank you, brother. Here's the deal. New Hope, what is God calling you to? What do you hear God saying? What do you hear God saying? I love the fact that you, we're looking for deacons now, and we're gonna vet them, and there's a criteria, right? Acts chapter 6. Ooh, you ought to say amen to that. You don't need to talk about deacons, and you ain't looked at Acts chapter 6. And these weren't men and women that they were gonna hope would grow up into these things. These were folks who were already doing these things. Here's the search. This is what you're looking for. You can't find it if they're not already doing it. You okay? Collectively, corporately, what do you hear God saying? Money's not an issue. Money's not an issue. The issue is, are you willing to believe God? It's a faith issue. Now, I'm not a word of faith preacher. I'm not a name it and claim it guy. I don't do that. That's just not my thing. Praise God for, you know, whoever. But Lord love you. Hallelujah. But we've taken name it and claim it, and we've reduced it to blab it and grab it. And then when we don't get the desired result, then it's taught that there's a deficiency in your faith. Boy, Something is wrong if the pastor is the only one who's flying around in a private jet. Is this just me, or is there a disparity in that gospel? Something's got to give. You the only one? The pastor's the only one lives in a gated community. So his faith is the only faith in the place that's working? Something's wrong with that. That ain't out of the spirit. That's just my logical mind, okay? Sometimes we just need to come down out of the spirit and just think a thing through. We make everything spooky spiritual. It's not so. It's not so. What are you willing to engage your faith in? What are you willing to... The other day, we were driving over yesterday, and I shared with Tony. I said, you know, we got some things we're planning. And so I said to Tony, I said, babe, I believe we're supposed to sow a seed, a $1,000 seed. Now, you ever needed God to provide the seed that you need to sow? It's not like we have some secret bank account where we can go write a check and it'll be $1,000. I mean, this will take, you know, us a few weeks to get the money together. But I said, we need to sow a seed. And I said, and we need to give this seed an assignment. Give your seed an assignment. And so we have the thing in our hearts and in our minds that we're sowing towards, and we're going to engage our faith, and we're going to sow. And I'm not going to go back out there the next day and dig my seed up to see how it's doing. In other words, don't you dare disrupt the process. Boy, you're preaching good, Bill. I'm like David. I have to encourage myself in the Lord. Don't you dare disrupt the process. You sow in faith. You believe God. Listen, this is not a money sermon. This is a faith sermon. This is a faith sermon. God, I believe you. But James said, faith without works is what? Okay, I thought I was in the Bible, reading Bible believing church. Faith without works is dead. New hope, what's stirring in your spirit? I had called a pastor the other day. We need a venue for a large event in April. That's just weeks away. And his father and I traveled back and forth to Cuba together. And over the last 2 years, the son has taken over the pastorate. The father retired, taken over the pastorate. And the son went to Cuba a couple times with us as well. Wonderful young man. He's a millennial. Good to see all these young men and women in the house of the Lord today. God bless you. I love you. You are not the church of tomorrow. You are the church of today. Say amen to that. Amen. Yeah, and tell me, anybody want to make you the church of tomorrow? Tell them, why put off till tomorrow what you can have today? Oh, that's a good word. Why put off until tomorrow what you can have today? I'm preaching better than you saying amen. And so I called Josh. I said, Josh, we need the church. There's this beautiful place, magnificent. And Josh said, Bill, okay. He said, I'll text you right back. He said, I'm not in the office. Now, I called him. Millennials, did you catch that? He said, I'll text you back. Y'all missed that at first. I had to stop and point that out, didn't I? Yeah, I'm mid-50s. I still make phone calls. He said, I'll text you right back. 10 minutes later, text, Bill, the building is yours. And then he said, whatever you need, just let me know. And then he said, please tell your staff to dream. And my staff will make your staff's dream come true. Did that get you? Because that got me. And, you know, now I'm in the office and I'm trying to, you know, I'm the macho man, Randy Savage. I'm the president of the He-Man Society. But the tears began to roll down my face. He said, tell your team to dream and my team will make your team's dream come true. Can you hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you, New Hope? Saying, dream, I dare you to dream. If you dream as a team, my team, the host of heaven, will make your dream come true. And the Bible says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, then he will give you the desires of your heart. There is something that shifts in my desire as I delight myself in him. God will cause his desires to be my desires, his wants to be my wants. And God said, I'll make it happen. But I dare you to dream. Come on, New Hope. I dare you to dream. I dare you to dream. Cast out fear. It's a lie from the pit. And walk in faith. Now, understand this about faith. Now, I got to go. Turn my stuff off. Faith is not afraid of the facts. Faith is not in denial of the facts. Faith will even speak of the facts. But the facts have no bearing on faith. I wish I had time to take you here, but I don't. Romans, when you get a chance, read what Paul writes about Abraham in Romans chapter 4. Paul, in so many words, if I could just editorialize a little bit and give you the Bill Clark, you know, paraphrase, Paul says that Abraham has this epiphany. He has this moment where it dawns on him that he was dealing with a God who spoke those things that were not as though they were. That's the kind of God we deal with. Just because you can't see it, touch it, smell it, hear it, taste it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. All that means is you can't see it, smell it, taste it, touch it, or hear it. That's all that means. But if faith says it's so, is that too radical? I'm not sure. It's okay, I'm getting ready to get in my car. If that's too radical, you know. The fact was, Abraham was an old man. Yes or no? The fact was that his wife was of age. Yes or no? I mean, when I say of age, I don't want to call it. She was young at heart. I'll just say that. Is that the fact? Further, the fact was that even in her youth, she was barren. Is that not the word? Could she ever have children? So what do the facts say? They say, these folks ain't having no babies. Isn't that what the facts say? But what did God say? Abraham, 75 years old. First of all, when I get 75, don't come talking to me about no babies. Say amen. I know it's not a conversation I want to have. And by then, listen, I should have some great grands, but they need to come and visit with their parents. And when their parents leave, say amen. Yikes. Whatever. You do how you want. But when the mama and daddy leave, the baby's got to go too. Amen. Yeah. Don't come telling me at 75 I'm going to have a baby. That's not what I want to hear. Spiritual sons and daughters, spiritual offspring, bring it on, God. But not something I got to get up at 2 a.m. and feed. But God said you're going to have a baby. And then it came to the point where God visited them and God said, next year this time. Read it in Genesis, next year this time. And Sarah's standing in the doorway of the tent, got a good chuckle out of it. And God says, you laugh now if you want to. Oh, you're going to have that pain. You. The facts were the facts, but faith said, I believe God. Faith says, if God wants it, then I want it. And I'm going to stand firm on his word. I'm going to believe his every word. I'm going to trust him to do exactly what he said he would do. No fear, right? No fear. No fear. New hope, no fear. Well, you know, Potsdam is kind of a small place. Just these colleges and these students. You know, we use a word around the university. We say transient population. That's what they say about you all. About students, you know, they're only here for a short period of time and then they're gone. We've had students that have settled in Buffalo. From the time they graduated, they started coming to our church while they were at the university. And they are mid-30s, babies, buying homes, still there. God will add to this house every stone that is needed to make it exactly what he wants it to be. That was really only part of where I wanted to go. That was half. There's another half. There really is. You think I'm playing. I'm serious. I'm so serious. When it gets warm outside and it's not snowing, I'm going to come back. I'm not going to even wait for an invite. I'm just going to show up. And I'm going to say, I'm here with the other half. Because the same God that worked for Abraham worked for Isaac, worked for Jacob, worked for Moses, worked for David, worked for Elijah, Elisha, worked for Nathan. The same God that worked for the patriarchs of old is the same God who is at work on your behalf and mine. He is the same God. I said last night, he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's the same God. And there is no shortage of power where our God is concerned. He can take nothing and make everything out of it. Amen. Everything out of it. And when you talk about new hope, we're talking about more than nothing. You're more than nothing. There's a lot of stuff here to work with. And God wants to work with you. But you have to believe him. And you can't be afraid. And people are messy, but people belong to God. I'm messy. I belong to God. You're messy. You belong to God. Amen. Yes. You don't need trying to sit up here and act like you're not messy. You're messy. It's just stuff we don't know about. But I know that there's stuff about me you don't know about. So if there's stuff about me you don't know about, you don't think I know that there's stuff about you that... Sometimes it's hard to follow my logic. But he's still our God. He doesn't shy away from us. We're just in process. We're in process. If I could close, and I have to, I would close with, where is it? Is it Philippians 1? Is it 1:6? 1:5 or 1:6? He who hath begun. Can I ask you to do something now? Now, please, everybody, do this. Because I've been asking you to do stuff, and everybody ain't been doing it. You've just been looking at me like I'm a guy with 14 heads. And that's not right. Okay, everybody do this. I want you to look around the room. I mean, just physically. Don't strain yourself, but look around the room. Look at the good that God has begun. Look at the good that God has begun. I'm not talking about the wonderful sanctuary. You know, I'm not talking about the facility. That's in there. But I'm talking about the building material. I'm talking about the building material. Yeah. Because the locale is just the place we meet. Wherever you go is the church. Yeah. He who hath begun a good work. It's good. It's very good. Now, dream on that. Dream on that. Dream on it. Can you do that? Okay, I'm done. Come on, Scott. Thank you. Bless you.